You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Oh, it's so good to be here with you on what is now the last Sunday before Christmas. Oh, now come on, who else is excited with me? Yes, come on. And we all know that Josh Hall is super excited about Christmas. We all know that. But what you might not know is that I'm like Josh, but I just don't wear it quite as visibly as he does. But Janet knows, my beautiful wife sat here in the front row. She knows it's not my fault, it's just one of my love languages. And I just want to say in front of 150 people, don't hold back this year, Janet. You know not to hold back. If she needs any encouragement, just encourage her after the service. Don't hold back, you know. It's one of my love languages. You know, you've got my list. She has. She's got my list. More about that in a minute. So last Sunday before Christmas, it is a great privilege to be here and to talk to you just before the big day. And we've been doing our series Now That's What I Call Christmas, where we've been unpacking some Christmas carols. And I found it brilliant. I love a little bit of history. I'm a bit of a history geek. And I love to kind of explore and understand who wrote what, when, and what does it really mean? Where did they get it from? And what was the story behind the carol? And it's been really great to explore all of that. And obviously, one thing that all of these carols have got in common is they talk about the biblical story of Jesus being born. But a lot of them are also basically a paraphrase of the gospel, of the Bible. And you look at some of these songs, and they're written like 300 or 400 years ago, and you think, you know, they have endured. And I would say to you that when you use the word of God, it endures. You know, and when you match it with worship or music or art, something truly beautiful is created. And I want to tell you this morning, before we really get going, if you match yourself with God, he will create something beautiful within you. Amen? Amen. So this morning, I have got the pleasure of doing Joy to the World. Joy to the World. If my mum was still here, I'd say, Mum, I'm going to put Joy to the World on. She'd go, that's my favourite. But equally, if I said, in the bleak midwinter, she'd say, it's my favourite. Away in the manger, it's my favourite. So Joy to the World, really, really special. And this was written by a guy called Isaac Watts back in 1719. Incredible, isn't it? And he was credited with over 750 hymns. And it's really good to know that there are people in this world who have made up for my lack of, you know, musical ability. 750, though. There is actually a special term to describe him. He's known as the big daddy of hymn writing. The technical word I can't use because I can't actually say it. So he is the main man of hymn writing. Apparently, there are stories about we used to talk in rhyme because it just flowed that naturally to him. Absolutely incredible. And Joy to the World, you might not know, but it's a paraphrase of Psalm 98. And I love the psalm. So let's just read that together. We can't go wrong, can we, if we just base all of this on the word of God. What does God say? So let's just read it together. It'll be up on the screen as well, so you can follow it along. It says this. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Amen. And it goes on. It's just a beautiful depiction of what it means to dwell in the fullness of God. You can't dwell in the fullness of God and not have joy. And so Christmas is a celebration of that joy. And do you want a little insight of what it was like for me when I was younger? Yeah. Little insight. So in fact, it's not dissimilar to kind of what I do now, to be perfectly honest. But when I was younger, and equally now, I'm not the most organized of people, but when it came to Christmas, it was a completely different matter. I was the most organized kid in the street. When a kind of mid-November came around, and it was the launch of the winter edition of the Argos catalogue. Are you with me, people? Mum, when you're next down in town, get the winter edition of the Argos catalogue. It's the only time I ever took any interest in shopping. Get the Argos catalogue. Mum would bring back the Argos catalogue. If you're Eileen Howard and a little bit more highbrow, it might have been the Littlewoods catalogue, Eileen, do you know what I mean? Yeah, Argos catalogue for me in our house. And then I'd embark on probably what is best described as a programme of psychological warfare against my parents. You know, forget Abby Watling talking about the nice and naughty list. I wasn't going to leave anything to chance. You know, nothing to chance. Three phases this had. Phase one, strategic placement. Leave the Argos catalogue on the favourite page where your kind of the theme of the gift that you wanted was. Leave it open. Kitchen, dining room, living room, wherever my mum and dad would just see it, just that glancing, that drip feed effect, just that kind of visual recognition. Z-Force action figures, Z-Force. Garage, where my dad's on his workbench. In the car, on the dashboard, I'm embellishing now slightly, but you get the point, yeah? I'd leave it strategically around the house for about 2 weeks, phase one. Phase two, circling. I mean, you've got to be specific. God calls us to pray specific prayers. I'm sorry, but you've got to be very specific. You can't leave anything to chance. So then you circle in, and you kind of want to kind of train your mum and dad's eyes onto the specific gift you want. So that'll be another 2 or 3 weeks. I told you I was really organized. And then phase three, if you're really, really bold, you're really bold and brave, you close the Argos catalog up, casual. Yeah, I'm not bothered. Casual. But what you've done is you've kind of craftily folded the corner of the page down. So when your mum and dad wanted to look at really boring stuff like curtain rails and dinnerware and all those kind of things, it would magically open up onto your favourite page. And again, there it was, more of the drip feed effect. And you knew you were it was working when your mum's writing the shopping list, dad's half falling asleep in the background. You know, okay, you've got to get it right, haven't you? You know, sprouts, peas, broccoli, Swede. Do we want Swede, Brian? Not this year. Already I'm onto a winner. God's answered a prayer right there. I mean, Swede, what is that all about, for goodness sake? Gravy, stuffing, turkey, Z-Force attack jeep, catalogue number 332/146. Keep going. Milk, bread, cheese, butter, Manchester City leather football with optional pump. Yeah, we'll go with the pump because it's Christmas. Catalogue number 543/219. And so on. And then you're there in the background going, it's works. It's work. Don't leave anything to chance. And that literally, there might be slight embellishing in there, but not far from the truth. But that is I love Christmas. But the older you get, the more you realise that Christmas isn't always full of joy necessarily. And you have the busyness of it. And it can be really quite stressful. We love our families, but there can often be a level of family complexity in terms of who do we go to which house on what day and how do we navigate all of that. And then there's the kids, and you're thinking, oh gosh, when are the kids back at school? Mark, it's only the 23rd of December. I've not even had Christmas yet. And also, it can also be a time of quite loneliness for people, where people feel isolated and disconnected. Mother Teresa said, "What the greatest poverty facing humankind is loneliness and a feeling of being unwanted." And we see that, don't we, in our communities? You know, we start to understand that life is a little bit more complicated. And we get to see that actually the things that make us happy are quite temporary, you know, and that there is a difference between happiness and joyfulness. And happiness is best described or explained as like an external event that happens to you. So the receiving of a gift makes you feel good. It's like a holiday or a celebration or a party or even a job promotion. But actually, the seasons come and go, those celebrations come and go, and things wear out. Happiness is a temporary thing. It's not a bad thing, but it's a temporary thing. Whereas joy is described as something that's deep-rooted, enduring, often described as having a sense of purpose and a spiritual connection. And I kid you not, if you type into Google AI, that's the definition that it would make, and that's the distinction it would draw between happiness and joy. It would describe happiness as temporary and joyfulness as something deep, enduring, and often best described as a spiritual connection or a sense of purpose. What it can't do is tell you where you get your sense of purpose from, and what it doesn't tell you is where you get your spiritual connection from. But if you look in the Word of God, Psalm 16, verse 11, is basically best summarized as, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. 3,000 years ago, Google AI, good explanation. The answer, in God, there is fullness of joy. And that is the claim that the Bible makes. And so, how do we experience this joy? How do we experience the joy that Isaac Watts described in his hymn, Joy to the World? How do we experience what Psalm 16:11 talks about? So I'm going to give you three tips. Is that all right? Three. Quite practical, I hope, because it's near the end of the year. We're all a bit tired, but I'm hoping you can stay with me for three. Okay, here we go. Three simple steps. Number one, make room for God. I know that sounds really simple, but often the most simple things are the most powerful. The carol says, and this is Isaac Watts' kind of response to Psalm 98, he says, let every heart prepare him room. Yeah? And if we're honest, every single civilization under the sun has looked for something beyond themselves, has looked outwards for something. And we do it ourselves, don't we? In Alpha, our very first session is, there has to be more to life than this. We all find ourselves asking ourselves that question. And it often is on the back of actually having experienced something good, but it's temporary. And so we find ourselves then saying, there's got to be more to life than this. J.K. Rowling, who you'll all be familiar with, said this, I'm aware, or I appear to have a God-shaped vacuum on the inside of me. And we all kind of know that, don't we? We all know that there's something that we're seeking and searching after, something that fills the void inside. The problem is we go after things that aren't the main thing, and we make those the main thing, and the main thing gets pushed out of our lives if we're not careful. And I always use this analogy. I use it at work as well. It's called the pickle jar analogy. And I think I've used it also here in church before. Here we go. And it's basically, hopefully you can identify it with, we go seeking after those things that make us happy. And there's nothing kind of wrong with that. But the problem is that we're starting to prioritize the wrong thing over the main thing. And we start to expect more than those things can offer us and can fulfill us with. You know, the main thing for me, it says in the Bible, seek first the kingdom of God. You know, and I have to say, I can honestly say that when I have made God the main thing in my life, it doesn't mean that I have the absence of challenges in my life. It just means I know that the God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, stands with me in those challenges. Make God the main thing. And all these things are added unto you. It's amazing how much you can fit into your life if you first make room for him in your life. And I just challenge you this morning, flip it around, flip your mentality. If you find yourself in a pattern or a cycle, because we all do, maybe just flip it round. Make God the disruptor in your life. Make him first, and you'll be surprised at how full your life suddenly becomes. And not in an exhausting way, but in a really fulfilling, purpose-driven way. Amen. And it's not something that's just a one-time thing, yeah? You might be sat there thinking, oh, that's for people who don't know God. Actually, it's a continual thing. Let's just look at Joel 2:13. If we could bring it up. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Amazing, isn't it? You know, and actually, even as Christians, even as people who know God, we can end up allowing things just crowd out God in our lives. I mean, the best analogy I can think of, the one that springs to mind is, if you've got a garage, I just challenge you, how long does the garage stay tidy for? Not very long, not very long. It just fills with clutter, and it's not your clutter. You don't know where it's come from. I mean, I got just so sick and tired of it that I converted my garage into my own office, and at least it's filled with my own clutter now. But, you know, but we've got to be really careful that we don't crowd out God. We've got to make room for God. We've got to make space to God. And then we cultivate that opportunity to hear God and understand what his purpose is for us on a daily basis. He's got a plan for you on a daily basis, a path for you to walk. Come on, we need to make space to hear, but let's make sure we keep him as the main thing and not other things, because they will not satisfy, they will not fulfill. We know it, don't we, deep down? We know it. And let's just contrast making room with the biblical account of Jesus. We haven't got time to go into it, but it says when the wise men came to Herod, Herod was deeply troubled, and so was the whole of Jerusalem. I would say that's because they were not prepared. They didn't know, and so they were greatly troubled. And then you look at the whole biblical account of Mary and Joseph making the journey to Bethlehem. You've seen it in the Nativity over and over again. The innkeeper, there's no room at the inn. 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 And then there was a stable, and it's described in one of the carols as a lowly cattle shed. I just want to give you some hope this morning. You know, even though there was only space in a cattle shed, God used that space and brought forward the Savior of the world. You know, and you might be thinking, I'd quite like to meet Jesus, but I'm a bit kind of worried about what this looks like to him. I'm not sure what I've got. I'm not sure I've got enough space to give him. Can I just encourage you? Whatever you've got, he will take. It says, I abide in you and he will abide in me. If you make available what you've got, come as you are, it says, come as you are. Do you know what? We've all fallen short of the glory of God. In our humanity, we share one thing, and that is we are in need of a Savior. We're all in the same place. We've all fallen short. It all looks a bit shabby in here, but God will take it. Remember the stable. God used that to bring the Savior of the world, and he will do the same in you. He will bring out transformation in your life and revolutionize how you live. Make room. Come on. Number two, take hold. Say take hold. I forgot to say that. We do that because when you say it, it imprints it and you're less likely to forget it. Take hold. It says in Psalm 98, the Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. And it says, enjoy the world, let earth receive her king. So do you know what? It's one thing to be offered a gift, but it's another thing to receive it. And it's one thing to receive a gift and another thing to use it. And quite often we can have quite a complex relationship with gifts, interestingly. You might be in that place where I just don't feel like I deserve it. I don't deserve it. Often, some other times, you might get a gift and just not think to use it. Janet reminded me of when work gifted me some optician vouchers so I could get my eyes tested. Stay with me on this. But I was a bit too proud to go with the glasses because A, they looked awful on me, and B, I don't need them. I don't need them. I've only got one bad eye. I've got a good eye on the right side. That's enough. And then I found myself at the monitor, inevitably starting to strain my eyes. And I put the glasses on, and I was like, I can't believe this. Can't believe this is so amazing. But it's so true in life, isn't it? You know, God's got gift for us, but if we don't pick them up and use it, we won't live in the fullness of God. And we meet lots of disillusioned Christians, dare I say, that live in the knowledge of God, but not in the fullness of the power of God, because perhaps they just don't feel like they're worthy of it. And we've just got to be really, really careful of that. Hayley's going to put up on screen my biggest Christmas ever from 1983-ish. There we go, 1983-ish. One of the young people earlier said, what on earth is that down there? And for the purposes of people listening in, that is the ZX Spectrum 48K, I'll have you know, with rubber keys. It took 5 minutes to load a game. I kid you not. So you learn patience and all those sorts of things. Absolutely brilliant. And at the top here, Action Force, Z-Force Attack Jeep with wheels, the action hero. I mean, that was my main gift in 1983, just before the introduction of smartphones, George. Yeah, 1983, got that. That was my main gift. Neil, my older brother, he got his main gift. Then right at the end of the evening, my mum and dad from behind the sofa pulled out a Toy and Hobby bag. Do you remember Toy and Hobby? Yeah, a few of the older people, yeah. Good, yeah. Some people, no idea. Don't check for the website. they went a long time ago, Toy and Hobby. And in this bag was the ZX Spectrum 48K. Couldn't believe it. I was completely overwhelmed as a child. Completely overwhelmed. I couldn't open it. My mum used to recount the tale that I insisted on every other toy being tidied up before it was unpacked and used. And then when it was unpacked and we started using it, I then got frightened that it would overheat or that it was too near to the carpet and it might get dust inside it. And it's interesting, isn't it? Even at a young age, we can fear the gift that's given to bless or kind of not walk fully into the enjoyment of it. I didn't enjoy it because it was just so big. It was kind of so... I'd never had a gift quite like that before. And we need to be careful we don't do the same with God. No, we don't deserve it. We just have to accept that. But because God loves us, because he's gracious. In Philippians, let's just look at what the Word of God says. If we bring up Philippians 3, Hayley. If we can't, basically, you can look it up yourselves. Philippians 3, 12 to 14. It's the second service. Look it up yourselves. Take it as a bit of homework. But basically, it says, press on and take hold. Look forward, don't look back. And it's Paul telling us that we're going to make mistakes. But, you know, let's just be honest about it. Let's say sorry. Let's say thank you. And let's move on and let's look forward. If you look back, you're just going to end up back where you were. Look forward and make Jesus the North Star and you will move forward. Don't look back. Take hold. But often what can be our big stumbling block is, you know, just not forgiving ourselves. You know, we don't forgive ourselves. We make a mistake. God's willing to forgive, but we're not willing to forgive ourselves. C.S. Lewis, who is one of the brightest thinkers of the 20th century, you'll know him from having written The Lion, Witch, the Wardrobe. He said this, which is just so powerful, I think. It will put it up on the screen. I think if God forgives us, we must forgive ourselves. Otherwise, it is almost like setting up ourselves as a higher tribunal than him. Who are we to question the Almighty? Why not just dwell in the awesomeness of God? Let go of the past, look forward, and let's take hold of what God's got for us. One of my heroes in the Bible is the unnamed woman. This was the woman who had the issue with hemorrhaging. And for 12 years she suffered, but she pressed through the crowd. If I could just grab hold of his hem, I will be healed. You know, that's the mindset that we need to have, isn't it? We just need to press through. If I can just grab hold, and Jesus is there. Jesus' hand is always outstretched. You know that? It's always outstretched. You know, the woman grabbed hold of his garment, but actually my Jesus has his hand stretched out to me every single day. Take hold, church, yeah? Take hold. And finally, choose joy. And I know that sounds like a really simple thing to say, and you're going to say it with me because I keep forgetting this. Choose joy.
Choose joy.
Amen. Choose joy. It is a choice. But when the pressure comes, we can often be tricked into thinking that we have no choice. You know, when pressure or challenging situations or circumstances come, we feel like we don't have choice. And if we get into that mindset, and the problem with that is that we can quickly feel hopeless and we have a sense of hopelessness and despair, and that can be really corrosive. But we always have choice. And I just want to remind you this morning, no matter what you're walking through, there is choice. And if there's choice, there is hope. This is best illustrated by a lady called Corrie ten Boom. She was a Dutch lady, not a Jew, but in the Second World War, her and her family helped to hide Jews. And they were reported and they got sent to concentration camps. And her and her sister, Betsy, got sent to Ravensbrück concentration camp. Horrendous place, absolutely horrendous place. And we're just going to bring up a quote. And this is what she said. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you will be at rest. You know, and the story... And she wrote a book called The Hiding Place. The story is that the Nazis took everything from her. They took her family from her. They took the clothes from her back. They took her sister. Everything. She was stripped of her dignity. But she says, they took everything from me, but the one thing they could not take from me was how I chose to respond to the situation. So you might not always be in control of your circumstances, but you can choose how you respond to your circumstances. choice is such a powerful thing, and it's within your grasp. It's within your grasp. Don't let go of the fact that you have choice. It is absolutely a frame of mind. And what might help you with this is the power of thankfulness. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, say, give thanks in all circumstances. And that might be quite tough because, like I said before, it doesn't mean, when you're a Christian, it means you have no challenges. You do have challenges, but you know that God walks alongside you. Sometimes he carries you. And that's my story. So you'll be aware, some of you, and I haven't got time to tell the story, but Daniel and I had a bit of an accident on the stairs when he was about 3 weeks old. He was in his Moses basket. Should have stayed in his Moses basket, but unfortunately, something happened on the stairs. I slipped or something got snagged and he ended up on the bottom step of the stair. And it was one of my darkest moments. And when I went to the hospital with him, and he was being looked at, and I just locked myself in a toilet cubicle. Literally, that was all there was. Got down on my hands and knees, and I just called out to God. And God spoke to me really clearly through the book of Job, which you might think, that's a really strange book to get some encouragement from. But it's when God speaks to Job and says, where were you when I set the stars in the sky? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And for me, it was a reminder that my God can do anything. He could save my son. And I knew in that moment that Danny was going to be all right. Nobody told me anything. We had to wait 6 months for the medical all clear. And so my challenge was going home, and almost on an hourly basis, did I choose to believe the word of God, or was I going to let fear, worry, and anxiety that was banging on my mind's door, I can tell you that for nothing, banging on my mind's door, am I going to open it, or am I going to choose to believe God has healed my son and I'm going to enjoy him for the next 6 months because I'll never get those 6 months back? And it sometimes was an hourly thing. But I can tell you now, if you make choices, consistently make choices, what you feel will have to fall in line with what God says. You might feel desperate, and I don't understand. You might feel desperate, but I can tell you now, if you claim Jesus over your life, if you declare him over your life, everything has to fall in line with that. It says that God gives us a peace that transcends all understanding. You can have joy even in the darkest moments. And it doesn't make any sense. I know it doesn't. But God is beyond our common sense. He's beyond our understanding. And aren't you grateful that he is? He can bring a joy that knows no limits. There's an old song there that I could break out into, but I'm not going to. A lightness in my spirit. Here in the grace of God, I stand. Yeah. So Philippians says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Do you notice that's intentional. I will say again, I will command this body to fall in line. I will command my mind to fall in line with what the word of God says about me. I'm not here by chance. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. People might not have shown me the love that I need, but God shows me love. For God so loved the world. For God so loved me. Yeah. The joy of the Lord can be your strength. I don't know about you, but I feel pretty fragile. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. I mean, how many of you are like me? There is a noticeable difference between on a day when I make God the priority and when I don't make God the priority. And then I go home in the evening and go, why did I not make God the priority? It's ridiculous. You know, if you make time for God, if you create space for God, you know, who knows what he will do? The joy of the Lord endures. Make room, but be prepared. Go on making room. Go on being prepared. Take hold of what he has for you. Yes, we make mistakes. You know, in Alpha, we have a very simple prayer, which is along the lines of say sorry, say thank you, and say please. And then let's move on, and let's take hold of what God's got for us, and let's look forward, not backwards. You kind of go in the direction that your sight is fixed on. If you look back, you'll end up backwards. Look forwards, look at Jesus. Choose joy. Don't forget, you've got a choice. And that choice matters. You'll be made to think that your choice doesn't matter, but it can have profound consequences if you choose God. That's what endures. The things of this world are temporary. God endures. But it's your choice. I'm just going to finish with a painting that hangs in St. Paul's Cathedral. And it was painted by a guy called William Holman Hunt. And it's based on Revelation 3:20, which says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock." That's Jesus. "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? And when he finished the painting, some of his friends or art critics or whoever they were said, "I think you've made a mistake, William." That's a brave thing to say, isn't it, to an artist? "Brave, you've made a mistake. You've not painted a handle on the door." And he said, "No, that's not a mistake. You know, Jesus loves us too much to impose himself on us. The handle is on the inside and it's an invitation, and the person, it's up to the person to open the door. It's your choice. It's your choice." And I just want to say to you now, I don't know what 2025 has looked like for you, but you know, if you feel like there's perhaps some different choices you can make, well, I would just say from my own experience, my own testimony is that when I've chosen God, my life has been so much different and it has been so much better. But it is a choice. I just really want to say to you, if you feel like, actually, this has been really helpful and actually maybe I've made choices or I've not made room or I've not, for whatever, taken hold of what God's got for me, this is our moment together where we can just say, "God, do you know what? Actually, I'm going to make a different choice. I'm going to make room for you. I'm going to take hold of what you've got for me." You know, God, it says, knows how to give good gifts. You know, let's live in the fullness of what God's got for us. Let's choose differently. Let's make him the main thing. Let's choose joy. Let's celebrate joy that knows no limits. So we're just going to pray now. And if that's just resonated with you, I just really encourage you to kind of like lift your hands, stand on your feet. You can kneel down. It doesn't really matter. But I do think it's important just to acknowledge that, "God, you know what? You've spoken to me. I'm just going to let you know that you have." And let's just pray together. I'm going to join you. I'm no different. So Lord God, we just thank you, Lord God, that you died for us. Lord God, we don't deserve it, but you did it anyway, for God so loved the world. So Lord God, we're so grateful, we're so thankful. And so Lord, we just simply say today, we surrender. Abide in me and you abide in you. Lord God, thank you for meeting with us. Lord God, we just open up our hearts to you now, Lord God, and take hold of what you've got for us. You want us to live life and live life to the full, and we're so thankful for that, Lord God. Help us not to forget that we always have a choice, and you're always there, Lord God. Your hand is always outstretched. We thank you that we can rely on you, Lord Jesus. We praise your mighty name, Lord God. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.